There we go. Get that thing rolling so we get it all recorded. I wasn't having any doubts that I heard the Lord when He gave me a message for today, but He's confirmed it through everything that's happened this morning, the songs we sung through Jamie's devotion, through everything. The lesson today is entitled, "Is Love Endures Forever." You know, we just sang, "Jesus loves me, this I know." You all know that God loves you. You all know that He cares about everything that we do, but do you know that His love endures forever? It never fails. I think He just wanted to remind us of that this morning. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness." So we're going to be in Jeremiah 31 most of the time today, if you want to turn there. Have you ever had someone promise you something that it never happened? You get promises and just for some reason or another they couldn't fulfill it or it didn't happen. It's devastating for you. It's very hurtful, and it doesn't give you good thoughts. But as I was thinking about the love that the Father has for us and His promises, He's never failed on any of them. God keeps His promises. He walks with us daily. And so we're going to be looking today at God's love for us as His children. So go with prayer. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank You this morning that You have given me a message for the church today. And Father, I pray that You'll give us ears to hear what You're saying today. Father, that we'll understand a little bit more just how much You love us as Your children. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for loving me, for caring for me. Lord, I thank You for what You're doing here. And Lord, I just ask You, Father, that You'll give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, help me, Holy Spirit, to listen to what You're saying. Father, I pray that I'll not get in Your way this morning, but that I'll be a vessel for You to use to speak to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, and we'll begin today. Isaiah, Jeremiah, right there in about the middle of your Bible. You know what? Let's go to Jeremiah 1. Start there. I want to get kind of set the stage for what's going on here. Jeremiah is a prophet that God chose, and let's just begin in verse 1, Jeremiah 1. This is the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anatoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. So that kind of gives you a time frame of when Jeremiah was a prophet. And it goes on to say there in verse 4, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And if you can think about that kind of love, that the Father knows us that well, before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. You think God doesn't have a plan for you, for each one of you? That's pretty cool. And he said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah said, ah, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. The Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. So, I wanted to read these verses to make you aware that when God gives you a project, he gives you the tools you need to carry it out. So God has a plan for us each day. And if we'll... That's one of the reasons that I started praying, help me, Holy Spirit, every morning when I start out each day. Because as you make yourself aware of God's presence in your life, then he'll show you little things through the day that you need to do to help others, so that you can be a help to others. So, now let's go to Jeremiah 31. We're going to begin in verse 1 of Jeremiah 31 as well. The first 14 verses are talking about his love for us. And so let's begin. Verse 1. It says, at that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. So, there's a time when the children of Israel turned their backs on the Lord. They weren't walking with the Lord anymore. And so he's telling them, here, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to rebuild what's been torn down. You're going to go back to praising me with your tambourines and joy. And good things are going to come from believing in me. And he goes on in verse 7 and says, this is what the Lord says, sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. So when you think about get a picture of the Father leading us along streams of water on a level path. So I've been on a lot of areas where the streams of water aren't level. You're going up and down along a stream. But He's going to lead the children of Israel, He says, along streams of water on a level path. A place where you won't stumble. He keeps track of what we're doing. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy in the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. The maidens will dance and be glad, and young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord." So, He is telling the children of Israel through Jeremiah that He's going to bring them back from their hardship and give them good things, and all the things that they do will be good. So He's turning their mourning into gladness. He's turning their sadness into joy. No more sorrow. Imagine a life like that. We don't have to go through any more sorrow. The next verses 16 down through 30 is talking about His mercy and His safety. I'm not going to go through all of those, but I want to go on down now to verse 31 and read a few more verses here at the end of the chapter. So we're going to read 31, go through 31 through 37. The time is coming, verse 31, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. So, He's making a new covenant. It's a different covenant than the one that He previously made with Abraham and with Jacob when He brought the children of Israel out of bondage. So they had been in bondage for 400 years when He finally decided it's time to bring them out of the bondage that they're in, out of slavery. And so, we're going to look now at this new covenant that He made with the children of Israel. He said in verse 33 that this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. So, He's going to allow us to think about and know His word, to know the law of the Lord. And it says, I'll write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord. It's time to come to the Lord, because they will all know me. So, there's coming a time when everyone will know the Lord. Everyone. It says they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. This is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel because of all they have done, declares the Lord. So, there's really not much chance that he's going to reject us, is there? He said, only if the heavens can be measured. Can any of you measure the heavens? Only if the heavens be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out. It says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when this city will be rebuilt for me from the Tower of Hananel to the corner gate. The measuring line will stretch from there straight to the hill of Gareb and then turn to Goa. The whole valley where dead bodies and ashes are thrown and all the terraces out of the Kidron Valley on the east as far as the corner of the horse gate will be holy to the Lord. The city will never again be uprooted or demolished. So that's the new covenant that he made with the children of Israel. So what is required of us? You know, the Father's love is unconditional. There's really nothing that we can do to earn it. We can't work our way into his good graces because he loves us enough that whatever we do, he's there for us. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 kind of gives us some insight into the love that the Father has for us and in what we can do, because we have to love him back. Part of what our requirement is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And so we have to love him back. And I want to begin in John 14:1 today. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. This is Jesus talking here. In mine it's red lettered. Says, trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, he said, you do know him and have seen him. And then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. And this last week, Matt shared with us how to increase our faith. 7 different ways to increase our faith. And he's telling us here that anyone who has faith will be doing and can do what he has been doing. And you will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And you will do whatever, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. And then the verses that follow here, 15 on down in the chapter 14 of John, talk about the promised Holy Spirit, and it says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So one of the things we have to do is walk in obedience to the Lord. Spend time in His Word. Learn to know who He is and that He loves us with His whole heart. He said, I will ask the Father and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives within you, or lives with you, and is in you. I will not leave you as orphans, says, I will come to you. For long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Let's continue on for a bit here. So Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. The Father will love him, and he will come to him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So, don't be anxious. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in the Lord and His love. Let's just go back to 1 John for one more little verse here that before we close today. 1 John chapter 3. There's probably the John 14 through 17 and then 1 John 3 are probably some of the best verses to read for if you're wondering if God loves you or not. And so let's go to 1 John 3, chapter or verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, His children. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. And then on over the last part of chapter 3, it talks about how we should love one another and care for one another. And there in verses 10 through, or 16 through 18, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. So just remember today that God's love endures forever. It's everlasting. It's steadfast. It doesn't change. All of you know by now that Matt McGlaude's not with us. I would just like to say this morning, I have been trying to get a hold of Matt to talk to him. I've not been able to. Found out this morning that she has blocked all of our calls so that he's not getting our calls anymore. So if any of you have tried to call Matt, that's why you're not getting through to him. So we need to pray. You need to pray for Matt. So Angie gave him an ultimatum that she would go back to church. She's not been walking with the Lord for the last 2 years, he said. And she gave him an ultimatum that if he would get away from us and take her to another church, that she would go back to church and begin to walk with the Lord again. So he felt like he needs to try that. I'm telling you this so that you know how to pray. Some of you maybe been wondering why Matt's not here. So that's why I'm sharing this with you this morning. It is an attack from the enemy, so we need to address it as such. So this morning I want to take authority over the enemy. We'll do that now, that he can't continue to harass Matt. I've been wondering why he hasn't returned any of my calls, because we've been friends for a long time. But he's not getting my calls, so I don't know how to reach him at this point. But pray for him, because he's obviously hurting, because we are. It's not what he planned, but he said if I don't at least try, this might be the only chance she has of salvation. So that's why he wants to at least try to work things out there. I don't know. That's why we need to pray. So put him on your prayer list. Pray for Matt every day. Because I know that it's hard for him. Because he was planning on coming back to say goodbye to all of you before he left. And she nixed that in as well. So let's just take authority over the enemy, because it's him who's causing the havoc. And let's do that now. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Satan, you're a liar. You have no hold there. So I ask you to just take your hands. I demand that you take your hands off of them. Father, we desire to have Matt with us, to share with us, to preach the word, to lead our praise and worship, just to do the things that he's been doing. So, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you'll work that out. Father, we lift him up to you that you would just minister to him every day, Father. Lift him up that he doesn't get discouraged and downhearted. Father, I pray for the body here, because we also are hurting because of his absence. So Father, we ask for a healing here at Open Arms. Lord, that you'll have your way in all that we do. And Lord, that you'll encourage Matt every day. Father, if it's your will, I ask, Father, that Angie's heart will turn to you. Father, that it won't be not, that it will not be continue to be a manipulation thing, but Lord, that you'll allow her in this to see you, to come back to walk with you wholeheartedly, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if any of you have prayer needs this morning, we would love to pray with you for anything. We don't care what it is. If any of you have never accepted the Lord and you'd like to do that this morning, why, we would love to pray with you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior as well. So as we sing this last song,